Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Dribble Podcast. My name is Craig O'Donoghue from the West Australian newspaper, and throughout this summer, I've been bringing you all the news and interviews for everything to do with basketball in WA. And finals is what is happening in WA basketball right now. The Perth Wildcats finished the NBL season in second spot, and today we will hear from Coach John Rilley as he prepares his team for an unknown opponent, but on a date we do know, which will be March 8 at RAC Arena. Perth Lynx placed fourth in the WNBL and will play Townsville on Thursday. Vice-captain Amy Atwell will be a guest of mine today as well. So both teams in finals is exciting for WA basketball fans. Make sure you seize upon this opportunity and go and support your Wildcats and your Lynx. So the Perth Wildcats are in a unique little holding pattern at the moment because they don't know who they'll play, but they know when they'll play, and that will be on March 8. It's a unique scenario, but it's a hell of a lot better than playing in a knockout final because they're only two wins away now from a grand final, which is absolutely outstanding for them. So how will they prepare? How are they preparing right now? Let's find out. Their coach, John Rilley, joins me now. John, thanks for joining us on the Dribble Podcast.
No worries at all, Craig.
So as I said, it's a really unique fixture. We're recording this on Feb 27, so it's been 10 days since your last game, and you're 10 days out from your next one. What are you doing with the team to keep them engaged and ready?
Yeah, so like when our regular season finished in Tasmania and then part of the franchise went to Melbourne for the NBL Awards, guys got some time away from each other as a group, but I did put a couple things in place where they had to do some individual work, get in some lifting, strength and conditioning, but kind of on their own schedule. But they had some benchmarks they had to come to, where once that period was over, like last Thursday, whatever that date was, then we got into a more streamlined weekly program that the guys have been used to throughout a season.
Having that opportunity for them to take a deep breath and relax a little bit, you don't get many chances to do that at all during a season. Do you think that's good for them to have been rewarded for that hard work they've got to get into second spot?
Yeah, look, I thought it was important for them to have a break or, remove themselves from the everyday, because playoffs, everything is just heightened that little bit more. So as well as physically, just mentally freshening up and being ready to tackle the task that is ahead of us here.
So the other challenge for them all is, as you say, mentally, and knowing that how big the playoffs are, is that some players can play a game in their head over and over and over again. Are you able to make sure that they're not doing that at this point of the season?
Yeah, look, absolutely. Because we don't know who we're playing, it has been all about us, things that we want to work on and continue to get better. But then throughout this break, instead of just the mundane situation of practice, we are doing a couple like scrimmage scenarios. So we're keeping some type of like game pattern to what our schedule is.
So I'm fascinated by how the coaches will handle this, because it's the fixture was so weird for you in that your potential opponents were also your last two opponents. So you spent all that time doing all the preparation for them. And it's not even like you can go out and re-scout those teams again, because you've just done it. So you live on a treadmill of doing the same thing day in, day out, and having a routine. What's your routine look like right now?
Look, our routine is like very similar to what we've been throughout the season. Now, you bring up a good point about who our potential opposition is, but that's why, look, for myself, for the way I coach our team, it is really about our own preparation and what we're doing good, what we're not doing good at this point in time. So we haven't even discussed who we could potentially play, how we're going to approach it. It is about us getting ourselves in a good frame of mind, but then also each individual feeling good about where their game's at this point in time.
So as a team, you've done so well to get to this position. There'd be a tempting part of every person, I reckon, would go, oh, we've got 3 weeks, we could possibly throw in some new plays, try some things that nobody's seen, but there's always the risk that won't work and can just be done for the sake of filling in time. Like, how do you balance the let's shock them with something they haven't seen versus let's go in there with stuff that we know back to front?
Yeah, look, I guess, you know, boring or non-creative in that, because I just truly believe if we like and we believe in what we've done, which has allowed us to get the second place through the regular season, if we can just do that stuff a little bit better or at a high level, like when we're playing in December and January, the team was playing at a very high level. So more so trying to replicate that, as opposed to trying to out-trick ourselves with new plays and different things, because I just think that creates confusion sometimes.
Will you watch it together as a group on Wednesday afternoon?
No, our staff will get together and watch it. You know, the players, like, we've never done that, so why all of a sudden, you know, do I think that that's important that we all get together? Because, you know, the game is played tomorrow. We still don't play until March 8th. So I want routine to be as normal as possible, because just playoffs in general, you know, the stakes are heightened. So I don't need to highlight that any more than what is necessary.
And as we said, it's either Illawarra or Tassie. Illawarra have been a bogey team for you this year. So have you tried to go in and have a bit more of a look at them specifically? Or, as I said before, is it not wanting to do too much of that sort of stuff?
Not at all. Like, I can tell you, since our last game until this point and until tomorrow night's game is done and dusted, like, I've spent all my time watching film on us, not on the opposition, because, you know, while I can be preparing for us, I don't need to get sidetracked with someone that we may not even play.
This team's been so good when you've built your own momentum. Your streaks have been fantastic when you've been in really good form.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, mm-hmm. when you've gone out of form, that's where it's gone a bit awry as well. So can you feel like now that you've gone through the peaks and troughs of the entire season, you know how to get that momentum built into your group and how they react emotionally to different things?
Yeah, look, what I would really say about this group is when there is, like, back against the wall, or, you know, in a moment of being truly tested, they've done a great job of rising to the occasion. And, you know, the playoffs is the height of that. So I have the utmost confidence that we'll be dialed in and ready to go to capitalize on their performance of the regular season.
You're a pretty experienced team when you look at it. Like, a lot of guys have had success in multiple leagues and across the entire world as well. Like, are you looking forward to those guys drawing on that experience to be able to help the guys who necessarily haven't been there as well?
Absolutely. And those are the guys that can bring a true calming, positive influence to the group. Like, it's easy for us to talk about Jesse's success and Bryce's success within the Wildcats and the championships there. So it's very easy to reflect on that and them draw on their own experiences. But then Corey Webster has been very successful in the NBL with championships himself. And that was with a different franchise and a different journey. So, and then Doolittle himself has played on many successful teams. So those guys are guys that can be lent on to talk about their experience, but then also bring a quiet confidence and calm amongst our group.
Doolittle's, I think, going for four in a row from overseas as well as here as well. It's amazing how he's been able to have success everywhere he's gone. He's someone I'm really looking forward to seeing how he performs in a final series, knowing that he loves this stage.
Yes. Now, rest in peace, Galen Young. I was a teammate of his at Townsville, and then he comes to Perth as, like, a late addition to the 2010 championship team. Now, there are just certain guys you stumble across in your career that you go, you know what, like, the statistics don't truly reflect the outcome of their influence in winning. And Christian is just another great example of that. And then as you dig into his history as a player, all of a sudden you go, man, like, it's amazing how this guy wins wherever he goes. So I do think he really has the ability to help a team win in different ways. And you need someone like that on your roster.
Fantastic for the club in terms of an award system recently. Obviously, Bryce dominates, wins his fourth NBL MVP award. And then you had your own MVP awards the other night. And there were two certainties on Saturday. One was that Bryce was going to win his, and the other was that Optus Stadium was going to go nuts when Rhea Ripley walked out. So you were obviously well on at the same time as the wrestling, but Bryce was the big occasion for the night. What did it mean for you as a coach to see him, you know, equal Ricky Grace and Sean Redditch from a club perspective now with six MVP awards?
Look, it just truly is starting to show his longevity at such a high level. You know, in sport, it's you know, we achieve accolades over a short time and they are celebrated in that moment. But now Bryce is getting into that stratosphere where, like, his ability to perform at such a high level over a long period of time, you know, is putting him in those conversations, the greatest ever, best import, all of that type of stuff. And, you know, with me to spend time around him every day and see the dedication that he puts in to achieve this, like, thoroughly deserved. And there's only going to be more on the way as well.
His ability to remain motivated, just I find amazing. Like, he's always looking for something else to make himself better. And every season you see him, there's something else that he's added to his game. Do you goal set with him at the start of the year, or does he come rocking up saying, this is what I want to be this season?
Look, that's a fantastic question that doesn't get asked too much about him, because everyone just admires what he does statistically. He's very motivated individual, and he wants to add himself. Now, where myself and the coaching staff help him is by providing ways that we feel like we can help him, or like what other players at the NBA level are doing to allow himself. So we try and show him successes of other people so he can digest that and then add it in his own way, because sometimes I think coaching, you try and influence people to what you want them to look like, where that's just not natural. There has to be a consistency and an attainability of what you're trying to achieve. And like, Bryce is a student, and, you know, as I commented on last week, like, his ability not to just be okay with mediocrity is, you know, unbelievable.
It was a pass over his head that he did to Ben Henschel in the second game of the season. You thought, oh, okay, he's working on this side of his game. He wants to add some more passing rather than just shooting in the offseason. I reckon the way Illawarra have gone at him, if it ends up being like that, if they end up playing Illawarra in the first final, I can see him being a distributor more than we've seen in recent weeks, and just bring that out. And you'd be really confident that he can do whatever he wants in any situation on the big stage now and bring as many people into this game if necessary.
Look, and he's always had that attribute, but he's just such a prolific scorer and a dynamic scorer that those other parts of his game do not get the credit deserving, you know, for him. And like, his playmaking ability is one example. I don't know the pure statistics, but I think he's always in the top couple in steals in the NBL every season. So his instincts defensively, you know, there's a lot of things that get overlooked just because he is such a potent scorer.
Yeah, one of the other awards, Hyrum Harris, won the most improved award. Like, his season's been phenomenal. Could you have imagined he would have turned into what he has over the course of the season when you recruited him? Because he's jumped so many hurdles to get up higher and higher on this ladder.
Yeah, like, it was great that he won that award for us. Very disappointing that he wasn't even a finalist for the NBL. Like, what I did and our coaching staff did do is we had a vision for him. Now, did that happen, and was he influential in quicker than what we were expecting? Absolutely. Now, what I didn't know is his work ethic, and then just like his personality to this group allowed him to grow and prosper very quickly. So did we have a vision for him being a contributor on this team? Absolutely. But the work he puts in behind the scenes, whatever he gets out of that, he truly deserves.
He's built for finals, isn't he? Like, the way he goes about it and just attacking the contest, that's what finals sport is, isn't it?
Yeah, look, and like, he's never been in the playoffs. So one of his goals in coming to Perth was to participate in the playoffs, because he's been a person that has persevered with his career. And, you know, sometimes he's had to pay out of pocket to achieve some of the things he's done at the NBL level. So, He's going to be ready for the moment, and he wants to make the most of it, because he truly does understand that this doesn't just happen, you know, without a lot of dedication and hard work. So I'm ready for him to embrace the moment and what he can bring for our team in that as well.
We spoke about Christian Doolittle before. He won the Andrew Vlahov medal as the best defensive player and has been awesome. Have you met with many players who are as team-oriented and happy to do any role, no matter what, especially from an import perspective, is what he has been this year?
No, and that, like, as we commented on before, like his ability to influence a game in many different ways. But then when you talk about his defensive prowess, I don't know anyone else in the NBL that can defend a point guard where Parker Cartwright, he defended New Zealand, who we could argue is one of the quickest guys in the competition, did a great job of keeping him in front. Then we play Melbourne United and he defends JLA one-on-one in the post. You know, so everyone wants to say these people are capable of defending 1 through 4, 1 through 5. I don't know who else in this league is capable of defending 1 through 5, one-on-one. That's the benefit of Christian Doolittle on our roster.
And as you mentioned, Hyrum Harris, a bit of a shock not to be in the nominations for most improved. I was shocked when Christian's name didn't appear in the best defensive player nominations. Yep. I was like, I think they missed someone there. And clearly they had. Coach's award went to Kyle Zunick. Like, he's clearly highly rated within the organisation. Hasn't had a lot of court time, but his leadership is obviously something that you guys really rate.
Look, his leadership, but then also made comment about this Saturday night before he received his award. It's easy to say during the games, like, he's very engaged with his teammates in the games, but he has the same mentality and attitude at practice. And that's something that can never be seen or a value put on, but just his mentality and attitude to the daily process of being successful for himself, but then also for a team. Those are things that you can never put a true value on, and you need that within a successful team.
And then Hall of Fame inductees were Kerry Stokes as a former owner, Adrian Hurley as a championship coach, and Raquel Muir, who does a magnificent job with putting the show on for the club. Like, it's a big club, isn't it? When you look back at the Hall of Fame, is great, I think, what they've introduced from last year. You must have enjoyed seeing people being recognised over the past couple of seasons.
Look, I think one of the good things that has happened with this club over the last 2 years is the advent of this and the Hall of Fame. And as you can see, it's just not all about the players. It's about the people that have been in this organization that have allowed it to become what it has become. And, you know, the three inductees, like Dr. Adrian Hurley, like, besides his success with the Wildcats, he's coached the Boomers. You know, Stokes, obviously, with his, you know, where he took the club. And then Raquel, like, you know, you could just, the quietness in the room with what she'd achieved and everyone wanting to listen to what it had meant for her to be introduced, but then also what she's done for this club. It was like one of the better moments of the night, that's for sure.
Ben Henschel's been playing for Australia. He's done amazingly well, and especially for a bloke who hasn't had a lot of match fitness or match practice under his belt heading into those games. Like, it's just shown what he can do, didn't it?
Yeah, look, these FIBA windows, especially for Australian basketball, has become like a good opportunity for the younger players in the NBL then to get a taste of international basketball. So Ben was the recipient of that, and I'm certainly an advocate for our guys being able to go away and represent their country in those moments, especially like when someone like a Nick Kay comes back. So being around a veteran that has experienced World Cups and Olympics, for those young guys to understand what pulling on the green and gold means. And then, you know, obviously Ben has bigger aspirations of, you know, representing Australia at the World Cup or an Olympics, but, you know, you got to get your feet wet first, and he did a great job with that opportunity.
So March 8 is when Wildcats fans will get to see their team again. You'll get to see them live at ROC Arena, which is fantastic. You haven't seen Bryce Cotton play live at ROC Arena in a final if you're a Wildcats fan since just before COVID struck in 2020. So it's a massive opportunity for everyone. What's your message to your fans to get out there and pack the joint and give you guys as much support as possible?
Yeah, look, no matter who we play, it's an exciting time for the club. And as you mentioned, like, just to have the opportunity to come and see one of the NBL greats, Bryce Cotton, in action. But in saying that, the atmosphere at RAC could really mean the difference of winning and losing a playoff series.
Well, good luck. Thank you very much for your time, Wildcats fans. Make sure you go and buy your tickets. You'll find out your opponent on Wednesday night, and it'll be a wonderful final series. So, John, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Craig.
Well, it was a dramatic weekend for the Perth Lynx. They knew they had to win to keep their season alive. They knew they had to rely on some other results too. And come Sunday night, they would have been celebrating because they kept their end of the bargain, and then the other teams kept their end of the bargain too, and the Perth Lynx are in finals. And their vice-captain, Amy Atwell, is here to talk to us about that now. Amy, welcome back to the Dribble Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
You've made it. What was the weekend like?
Yeah, it was definitely an emotional roller coaster. We didn't put ourselves in an ideal position having to kind of rely on other results. But at the end of the day, we kind of knew we just had to take care of what we could and do our best to win that game on Saturday and then hope for the best. So definitely an emotional roller coaster, but we got there in the end.
So to win by a big enough margin where you don't have to panic late and the stress isn't there, was that a godsend for you?
Yeah, definitely. But I think first half was not our best half of basketball and obviously dug ourselves a bit of a hole. And then even most of the, it didn't really blow out to that 20-point margin till late in the fourth. So it felt a lot closer than it was all through the third and fourth quarter. But yeah, it was definitely nice to have that breathing room in the last couple of minutes of the game.
And then Townsville tried to let Sydney back in a couple of times. So that game would have been stressful to watch.
Yes, they tried their best. It was definitely stressful to watch that one, and it was a close contest all the way through, and Sydney came back a few times, and I think we're all watching like, do we want to watch, do we not want to watch? But yeah, in the end the result fell our way, which is good.
So that Sunday game was really unique because you were getting ready for the league MVP awards, so yeah, we would have been, you know, doing makeup and hair and getting ready and maybe trying to get on the road or find an Uber or whatever you have to get to where you need to be, and the game's on and you're desperate to know what was going on. How many people were you sort of hanging with at different points with an eye on the game and an eye on getting ready?
I actually wasn't with any of the girls. I was in my own room getting ready and kind of just trying to take my mind off as best as I could. I kind of had it in the background as I was getting ready and would go back and check every couple of minutes. I'm not sure about any of the other girls. I think we're all kind of just doing our own thing, getting ready and trying not to make such a big deal out of it and take our mind off it as best we could.
So you're still in Melbourne. You will travel to Townsville on Wednesday morning-ish. So is that a direct flight you get, or do you have to go via Brisbane? Like, what's your route, do you know?
I think we're going direct from Melbourne to Townsville tomorrow, yeah, which is very nice.
That'll work out perfectly. It's better than the flight you would have copped coming from here where it takes all day.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Perth to Townsville travel is not nice.
So take us through the confidence that the group has built back up after this last 2 weeks where it got really hard for you midway through the year, but now the team's back together, everyone's healthy, and you're winning again.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, getting a huge piece like Airy back in the lineup definitely, I think, gave a lot of us an automatic kind of boost of confidence just having our full team back and knowing how well we were playing at the start of the season with everyone. And obviously finishing the last two games the way we did definitely gives us some confidence rolling into finals.
You almost had two teams this year, didn't you? There was the one where you were playing well with everyone there, and then there was the one that struggled when you were trying to play a new style that you learnt mid-season and it wasn't really suited to all of your strengths. So do you feel like that second team middle of the year part didn't really exist now that you've got everyone back together?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it kind of was two different teams. We had to change a lot of stuff when Airy went down. But yeah, I think everyone, that's kind of in the past now. We've kind of moved on, taking confidence from these last two games and shifting our focus onto Townsville and just getting ready as best we can.
Bit of deja vu for you, isn't it? Last year was Townsville in finals. This year is Townsville in finals.
Yeah, I know. It's happened the exact same way, which is kind of crazy. But just happy to have made it.
It's such a great time of year. Like, this is what you build for. This is what you want to be part of. What do you take from the experience of playing finals last year that you can help yourself with this year?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like you said, this is kind of why everyone plays professional sports. You want to get to the point end of the season and make finals and be playing your best basketball. And yeah, I think obviously having been here last year, I've got a little bit of experience under my belt, but we have a completely different team this year. And it's a different league. It's, a lot has happened. So kind of just trying to approach it like it's a new series.
Townsville, your personally view were your bogey team last year. I reckon they got on top of you a fair bit. This year, you've absolutely been marvellous against them and had some of your best games. So did that motivate you this year to try to make sure that how they shut you down last year wasn't going to happen again?
I wouldn't say like I thought about it too much. I think we as a team struggled against Townsville in general last year, and obviously individually I didn't have my best games, but that's not something I kind of think about too much or even is in the back of my mind. I don't try to think about it in that way. But yeah, definitely. I just want to do whatever I can to help the team win. And obviously Townsville's had our number and my number a few times. So just trying to make any adjustments I can and do what I can to win a basketball game.
Such a weird matchup with you and Townsville this year, given that you went up there just after Airy broke down and then Annalie got hurt in one of those games as well. So you haven't really seen anything like your best team on the court being available to play against them. So I don't reckon there's actually any scout for either team to work from.
Yeah, no, it was right after Airy went down. So obviously we've played them twice in that middle of the part of the season where we were struggling. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think they're getting a few girls back from injury too, and I think we're both finally at full strength or as close to full strength as we can be. So, yeah, it'll be interesting.
Does it give you an advantage, the fact that you've seen them at their best? They have not seen you, even in this style of play. They probably November, I think, you played against them over here and had them for a half. But the last two games, they haven't really seen anything like the team they're going to cop on Thursday.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think we are definitely a completely different team with Aerie in the lineup. And like you said, two of the three times we played and we didn't have that. So we do play such a different style and different team when she is on the court with us. So, yeah, I think that's definitely an advantage that we have with them just not having played against her a bunch.
You must be thrilled with your season to have been picked in the All-WNBL second team. Was a real accolade that you deserved.
Yeah, no, it was nice to get recognised like that after a better season for myself. So, was happy with that, but our job's not done yet.
No, but we all know you're going to talk up the team and say that you're focusing on finals. But it's any time. So you've said the right thing there. Now let's actually talk about how was the emotion. Like, you want to be recognised. Everyone wants to be recognised. So what does it mean to you to be named in the best 10 players in the comp for this season?
Yeah, no, it's obviously an unreal achievement and something that was super emotional at the time just because obviously the individual accolades kind of, I guess, recognize the hard work you've put in and everything behind closed doors and stuff like that. It was an unreal moment and it was really nice to be recognized.
And it comes after you got the opportunity to go back to WNBA for a training camp. So you've had a big few weeks, haven't you? You must feel like, yeah, the sacrifice and the commitment and all the hard work that you do, people are starting to realize, hang on, this player who got drafted a couple of years ago might be just about be ready to go back there.
Yeah, no, it has been a pretty big last couple of weeks for me individually, and I'm just super stoked to get another opportunity to go over there and show what I've got. And yeah, it's like you said, it's rewarding. It's nice to see the hard work's paying off and people are starting to recognize. Yeah.
Is Fleur McIntyre heading over there? Was it a phone call from her that specifically that got you over there? Was that I would imagine she would have been watching a fair bit of it over here to know who to call.
Yeah, I mean, I actually haven't had any communication with Fleur at all. So if there's a link there or there's some reason that worked out, I'm not sure. But it's going to be nice to have some fellow Aussie faces over there, that's for sure.
Yeah, it'd be perfect. But most importantly, you're playing in a final on Thursday. So you've got some young players in there. What will your advice be to the young'uns who are looking around going, well, this is our first opportunity at this?
Yeah, I mean, I would kind of just say soak in the moment. It's not only four teams get to play finals basketball at the end of the year, and the other four are done. So soak it all in. The atmosphere, the experience, all of that, but don't kind of let it overwhelm you. It's just another basketball game, but soak in everything that happens with it and enjoy your time. Have fun.
It's so easy to get caught up in your own head, isn't it, when it comes to finals? It can go by in the blink of an eye if you're not enjoying the challenge of being out there.
Yeah, definitely. I think obviously finals just adds that extra pressure already, and all the work you put in all year is to get to this point. So it's very easy to get to overthink and get in your head and put more pressure on yourself. And I think the only thing that makes that easier is experience and having been there before and having people around you that are experienced and have been there before. So, yeah.
And Lynx fans can get to see the home final on Sunday as well. So message to them to get out in absolute numbers and fill that joint.
Yes, definitely. We want to sell it out. We want the best six man in the country there, filling the stands and cheering us. And we want an electric atmosphere. And we want to get as many people there as we can to help us get across the line.
So that's Thursday the away game. It's Sunday the home game. Make sure you get out and support the Perth Lynx as much as you can. They are into the finals. They were second on the ladder, obviously, at Christmas, and then the injuries happened. So they are well and truly one of the best teams in the competition and will challenge Townsville and put real pressure on. So good luck. Hopefully it goes really well. Win game one, bring it over here. Win game two and you're into a GF. So it'd be handy, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be really handy. Hopefully it goes that way, but we'll see what happens.
Well, good luck. Thank you very much for joining us. That is the end of this week's episode of the Dribble Podcast. Thanks to John Reilly and Amy Atwell for their time. Thanks to Josh Cable for his production work. Remember, you can read all of your basketball news in the West Australian newspaper and at thewest.com.au. We'll be back next week, another episode of the Dribble Podcast.